Hey, it's good to see all of you out in the house of the Lord this morning. We've not had a church split. It is decoration over at Mount Zion. We have many folks that have people buried there. So they're there to decoration this morning. So pray for them that they'll have a good service there. And we plan on having a good service here in the Lord, that He'll take charge and be in control. Our homecoming and decoration service will be here in 2 weeks from today. So we're looking forward to that, and God blessing in that. So be much in prayer as that service time's coming up. And the Lord will just bless in that. Remember all the families this week that have been had bereavement in their families. Let's remember them in prayer and lift them up this morning as we come together to worship. If you will, get your red hymn book. Turn to page number 235. Number 235 in the red. Let's stand and sing, "He Set Me Free." If God set you free this morning, sing like it. Set me free, no longer in bondage to sin that would send me to hell. Thank God, God has set me free. And those that God has set free, they're free indeed. And I'm thankful this morning that I'm free. I hope and pray that you are not bound by Satan's temptations and holds and sin, but that God has set you free and that you'll rely on Him. Not saying you'll be perfect, but thank God you are forgiven. This morning as we come to the Lord in prayer, let's continue to remember those. Remember the Williams family there. They've had a couple of deaths there in the family. So let's keep them in our prayers. Lift them up. Also, the other families and across in our congregation this morning, the flowers that are placed up here are in memory of Treva Taylor and also in the memory of Betty Landers. So let's remember them in prayers and continue to pray for them this morning. And lift them up in prayer. Alan wanted me to thank the church for everything that everyone done for their family. They are at Mount Zion this morning in decoration. But he wanted me to express to you his deepest thanks for everything that was done and for the meal and things that were prepared there for their family this past week. So keep them in your prayers. Continue to pray. And all the families there that have been bereaved this week. There's been many. But we just thank the Lord that though they may be leaving here, thank God we can join them in the ranks in heaven. And one day we'll be gathered back together before too long, not to have to part anymore. So we're thankful for that this morning. Continue to remember all the ones that's facing cancer treatments and things. And thank the Lord that Stephen's able to be with us this morning. Had surgery there on Friday. So continue to keep him in your prayers. Also, Continue to remember Thomas Sturgill there and his treatments. And just remember Mom as she'll be going this week to find out, I think, some more about radiation and things that she may have to take. So keep her in your prayers. Glad that she's back with us today. So continue to remember Miss Cox and keep her in our prayers and feel. Lift them up and all the ones that we've been praying for that's been sick in the congregation. Let's keep them in our prayers this morning. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Betty Sue Wiles, or Tommy Sue Wiles and Betty Spaulding and Minnie Lou Johnson. So let's keep these three ladies in our prayers. Let's remember Carl Williams this morning. And remember Alpha Jean. She's got several places that showed up of cancer there, so continue to keep her in your prayers. She will have some biopsies tomorrow, so keep her in your prayers, please. So remember Mabel Ham also. Any others? By uplifted hand. Mildred Woods, so let's remember her. She has surgery this week. So let's remember Mitzi on the 13th. Remember Dorothy. Remember Pat and Edwin's mothers. So let's remember Hunter as he starts a new journey in college. Pray for the college as well. I'm sure they've had people like Hunter before. Amen. Glad for that. And Connor, that's for cutting grass, son, not your toenails. Use the fingernail clippers for those. But we're glad he wasn't hurt any worse. He's healing up well. Anyone else? Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. We'll ask Vernon this morning if he'd lead us in prayer, please.
Higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Wednesday night is our annual election of officers at conference, so please come out and be with us on Wednesday night if at all possible. Also, we need to finish getting rid of the tables. If you're interested in purchasing any of the old tables, it's in the fellowship hall, the brown wooden tables. Wednesday night, if you would please come, and we'll get that taken care of. We don't want to handle any of that on Sundays, but we will take care of it on Wednesday night. So if you please come this Wednesday night prepared with the way to haul them and be able to remove those, we appreciate that so we can get set up for our homecoming, which will be, like I said, 2 weeks from today. So remember that, please, and help us out with that. Also, on August the 9th, Wesley and Megan will be getting married here at the church. So remember that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So pray for them. If you could please come out and be with them to celebrate the uniting of their lives together, please do so and help them celebrate that. We'll greatly appreciate that. Also, remember homecoming 2 weeks from today, so we're looking forward to that. Everyone, stand your feet. Welcome each other to church.
All right, let's start making our way back to our seats, please. We got our birthdays for August. Birthdays for August. Today, August the 3rd, is Brittany Mabe Angel's birthday. Also, Jacob Evans on the 8th, Edna Jones on the 9th, Brandon Mabe on the 12th, Josh Miller on the 15th, Destiny Krause the 17th, Paxton Hodge the 20th, Stephen Williams the 22nd, Whitney Krause the 23rd, Kenley Angel the 24th, Dwight Handy the 26th, Johnny Williams the 26th, Casey Allen the 28th, Debbie Sturgill the 29th, and Mitzi Billings on the 30th. Anybody else with a birthday in August? Anybody else? 14th of August, Pat's mother will be 96. That's wonderful. Wonderful. All right, let's sing happy birthdays for these. Everyone stand to your feet, please. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We appreciate all these birthdays. Do we have anyone with a song this morning? I think this Sunday's open. Has anybody got a song on your heart? Anybody at all? Pud, you got one you want? Oh, he's still counting the money. He can't sing yet. Yes.
No one with a song this morning. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 this morning. I've got all chugged up again. I was out in the cool, damp air yesterday evening there for a little while, and it seems to have affected that mess I had a month or so back. And so y'all pray for me this morning. God, open up my head and let that stuff not bother me. But we look into Daniel this morning, looking in chapter 6. I want us to think about what can people find fault in you about. Now, we find fault in everyone, don't we? We're quick to be able to find their faults. We don't find their good points. We don't tend to look for those. We want to find the fault, what we can talk about, what we can run down, say we're better than them. Well, let me tell you, I'm no better than anyone. I'm just a child of God, a sinner, saved by grace, imperfect, fallible. But thank God that's inside of me, that God is saved. Thank God it's perfect because it was made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect in this flesh. It has its problems. It has its failures. It has its sin. But thank God that inward man that's been saved, thank God that is made perfect through the blood of Jesus. And thank God it can be victorious in our life if we'll allow the spirit man to have control of our life. Now, as we look into Daniel, we're going to see here that Daniel was preferred above all the people in the land at this point in time. The king was seeking to appoint him to be over all of his realm. He really had faith in Daniel. Daniel was a very smart man in the wisdom of God. He stood fast upon God's word and upon his dedication to God. He didn't waver. He didn't back down. He was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He wasn't going to change the way that he lived for nobody else. He was going to follow God, and he was committed to doing exactly what he felt God wanted him to do every day of his life. Now, do we have that same commitment every day of our life? It's sad to say, many times we don't have that same commitment every day. Days we feel better, maybe we're more committed to feeling closer to God, or maybe days when we feel worse or feel sick in body, maybe we're more committed to feeling closer to God and wanting to seek His face so that we might feel better in the body. Well, whatever it is, do we make that commitment every day as Daniel did, as Daniel was going to face here before he was cast into the lion's den, or the den of lions? It wasn't an empty place. It was full of cats, because if it had just been a lion's den, it could have been a place where they one time lived. But thank God there was animals in there. There was cats in there waiting that were hungry to exact the judgment upon Daniel that the king here had been tricked into forcing upon him, because he would not fail his God. He would not sit down and not pray when the decree was made that the other princes and presidents of the land tricked the king into signing in the decree. Thank God, whenever this happened, Daniel said, I'm not going to worry about what man says. I'm going to keep on obeying God. And we need to keep on obeying God in this time and age that we live, because we see so many that have turned their back on Him. We have a president that says that we're no longer a Christian nation. Let me tell you, if we can take Christ out of America, you might as well pack it up and go somewhere else, because it's fixing to fall whenever we're no longer a Christian nation. Mr. President needs to walk outside of his door and take a trip around and look at all the monuments that's there that has inscriptions to God in it from our forefathers, and see the cross that it makes, that this country was founded upon a Christian belief. We need to be like Daniel, and we need to hold on to what the old paths are and to walk therein and to declare the Word of God and it truth and all men liars. But now we get into the Word of God. And we want to see here, And it's talking about the presidents here in verse 6, that they came together and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now let me tell you, they were appealing to his carnal flesh. They were appealing to his pride. How does Satan attack us today? He appeals to our pride. He wants to set us up on a pedestal that we can have our feet knocked out from under us. Let me tell you, he'll appeal to your pride to get you to follow him. He'll appeal to your pride to get you to bow down and quit worshiping God. He'll say, what are you thinking? What are you doing this for? You should not do these things. You shouldn't worry about lifting up your voice and praising him. Don't dare raise your hand and let somebody see that you are praising God by lifting holy hands. Don't say amen because you might encourage the preacher and get him on fire a little bit more. Let me tell you, what we need to do is just obey God and not obey Satan whenever he's telling us that. There's a song, how will you plead? How are you going to plead whenever Satan cries guilty? Are we going to plead, or is Jesus going to plead our case for us? All I know to do is plead the blood of Jesus upon it, because I'm guilty. I should have died and went to hell. But Jesus signed my pardon. Jesus forgave me. But we see here now that these people are come together to appeal to the king's carnal flesh and to his pride. Let's make a decree that you're the top dog and nobody can ask anything of anybody else but you. No other gods, no other anything, but only you, King Darius. Let's put you in the top position for 30 days. Now what did he do as a man of flesh, of pride? He goes ahead and signs this decree and establishes the decree and signs it. And he does it in the law of the Medes and the Persians, which couldn't be changed. If it said 30 days, it was 30 days. It wasn't 29 days, 23 hours, and 30 minutes. It was for the whole 30 days. It couldn't change. So they knew they had King Darius, and they knew that Daniel wasn't going to obey it. Because three times a day, Daniel prayed. He wasn't quiet about the thing. He'd open his window and he prayed. He prayed. You know, we need some more praying. And it's good to have silent prayers and to pray in times of being in silent. But listen, we've been silent too long. It's time that we lift up our voice to God. That people know they're not just sitting there asleep with their eyes closed. You know, I worry sometimes about people when they're doing silent prayers that they might go to sleep. Because if you get that quiet for that long and got your eyes closed, a lot of people go to sleep. We got such busy lives that we're always rushing here, rushing there, that if we get 30 seconds to sit still and close our eyes, we're liable to forget what we were supposed to be doing to start with. We need to pray out loud and pray to God. Now, I'm not saying all of us have to pray the same way, but God ought to hear your voice, and there ought to be people hear you pray every once in a while. Be able to pray to God without ceasing. Just like Daniel, he didn't care what the decree was. He was going to obey God. He was going to stay faithful to what he believed and his convictions was. One thing we lack today in church is conviction. Conviction. Our conviction is gone for the lost. Our conviction is gone for being solid church members anymore. Our conviction is gone. We're coming to fill a position. Listen, if you're just coming to fill a position, that's the wrong reason to come to church. Come because of the conviction of God in your heart that you want to meet to worship. And hear the Word of God, study the Word of God, preach the Word of God, sing the Word of God, whatever it is to give worship to God, that we come together with that on our mind. Not the things that's going to happen tomorrow or next week or 2 weeks from now, but today. Today. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Didn't change Daniel. Daniel said, I am determined that I'm going to pray to my God, and I'm not changing for no king's decree. Listen, today they're saying, well, Christians, you've got to be silent and you've got to let these others have a voice. I don't find that anywhere that I have to be silent and let some false god be talked about when I serve a living God. I don't see anywhere where Christians have to be a doormat for other religions that have no power. I don't see that anywhere. It wasn't in King Darius' day. It wasn't here in Daniel's day. It wasn't in Jesus' day. Thank God I don't have to be a doormat for anybody. Thank God I serve a living God. I'm a child of the King. And I'm tired of being treated like yesterday's garbage. God is real. God's on the throne. God's in control. God's in charge. And these false gods, they have no power. They have no end except death. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They knew. They could probably set their watch by Daniel when he went to pray. They said, all we got to do is go down there after this is signed and we're going to catch Daniel. We're going to get rid of that old boy. You know, there's more than one way to kill somebody. Here they were seeking to take his life to get him out of the picture. But sometimes this thing is between our teeth and gums here, called the tongue, can kill people's reputations. We can kill our own reputation by the way we live, by the things we do, by the way we talk, by the way we act. People will know us by our fruits that we bear. You know, I think there's a lot of Christians today that's bearing persimmons because of the way they look. They all dried up, face turned inside out where they've been eating them. We need to be something that's desirable, some desirable fruit for God. Many people think the apple is what Eve was tempted with. It doesn't say that. Some people might be oranges. Some people bananas. And it might be something else. But the fruit that takes our eye off of God is that temptation that Satan's offering this morning. The temptation for Daniel would be not to pray, to suffer this, or to go in silence. Oh, you say, well, he could have went there and prayed in silent. He didn't mean to pray in silent. He wanted his voice to be heard. The people know that he was still worshiping God and he wasn't going to change. We're still worshiping God. We're not going to change. We're not going to bend as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not going to bend. We're not going to bow. And we sure not going to burn. We're going to be like Daniel. We want to just hold on and hold on and keep on doing the things that God's established that is right. Jill was sharing with me about a book that she saw in the Barnes & Noble about the Christian Gay. Today's Christian Gay, I believe, was the name of it. And the books that's being written that's out there that are taking God's Word and twisting it. And hasn't that been the way that it's been from the very beginning? Satan took the words that God spoke and said, thou shalt not surely die, and told the first lie that was ever told. So not only did he have the original sin of pride lifting himself up above God's throne, he also told the first lie that was ever told. And he's the author of them, and he's the author of confusion. But Daniel knew who to hold on to. He knew to continue to make his petitions to God. He knew he wasn't going to bow down. He knew he wasn't going to change. Are we that strong in our conviction? I challenge you that we have our conviction stronger, that we have a closer walk with God. Anyhow you want to call it, a deeper worship, a closer walk, getting closer to God, walking, learning more about Him. Any way you want to label it, that we get closer to God, that we have a deeper connection with Him every day. I need a deeper connection with God every day, especially when the storms of life come pouring in against us, and we see our friends and our families going through so many things, and you see so much hurt in people's hearts. You got to have the strength of God to keep on going on, because it would be easy to give in. It would be easy for the depressions to take over. But we got to rely on God. Just as Daniel was going to rely on God, he didn't care what the law was. He was going to continue to follow God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, can't you just see him? That self-righteous crowd. Well, that preacher's out of his mind that I ought to serve God closer every day. That preacher's out of his mind that this book's outdated. We don't even need the Old Testament anymore. We're the New Testament church. Well, friend, if we didn't need it anymore, God would have took it away, and we wouldn't have had it in our book. You think it's lasted this long just by chance? I don't think so. I don't think so. God had a purpose for it to be our schoolmaster to teach us that we can understand the New Testament as well. But it's all for our learning. It's all inspired by God. It's all for us to understand. But they said, that Daniel. Can't you just see him? That Daniel, that rascal. He's not listening to you, O king. Which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He thought, oh, they got me. They tricked me. They tricked me. Now what am I going to do? And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king knew it was wrong. Just as soon as this happened, he thought, boy, I have made a mistake. I have messed up. This is Daniel. And I really like Daniel. He's so good. And I'm thinking about putting him over everything, that I don't have no hurt against me, that I don't have to worry, that I don't have the headaches. Daniel can run it and rule it, and I'll just be the figurehead. And now they've tricked me into this, and I'm going to have to take Daniel's life. How can I change this? He's saying, it's the Medes and the Persians. I can't change it. I can't change it. You know, people are wanting to change the law of God. We can't change it. When he established it, that settled it. When he said, it was written in stone. There's no changing it. God doesn't change his mind. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's settled. It's society that's changed. It's the evil that's come into people's hearts and lives. As it was in the days of Noah, that men's hearts were on evil continually. So it's getting that way in America today and all across the world. We see fussing and fighting going on every hand. We see Israel and the Palestinians always fussing and fighting over land. And the truth is, Israel don't have just a little bit of what God has promised them. There's a lot of other countries over there that's part of Israel's territory. If Israel decides to take it back, that is the promised land that God gave them. So we need to be praying and watching the time clock there in Israel. The time clock in Israel. We need to be praying for those folks there. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thou God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That's some faith right there. Faith. He said, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he will deliver you. He's going to deliver you. Let me tell you, if you've surrendered your life to God, God will deliver you through the circumstances you're going through right now. There's nothing you're going to face that God ain't already taken care of and provided that way of escape. But we got to trust God. You think Daniel was worried whenever they bound him up and throw him down there in that lion's den there with the lions? No. He wasn't worried. He trusted God. Hey, if I get eaten by the lions, I'm going to heaven. God done promised me that I'm going to, if I believe in him and trust him, he's going to send Messiah. See, at this time, if Daniel had lost his life, he'd have went to paradise. And he'd have been waiting on the Messiah to come. He'd have been there with the rest of them that died in faith believing until Jesus came. But he said, I'm a winner either way. You can't hurt me. Throw me in there. Threaten me with heaven if you want to. That's all right. You're not going to worry me. Just toss me on in there. Then it says in verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. I don't know why it stood out to me this time, but not only was the king's signet upon the seal, but also his lords, those that was around him, probably those that helped him write this decree to capture Daniel into serving his God. They all put a seal upon it. That way it couldn't be broken and changed. See, if a king just had his seal upon it, trying to deliver Daniel, he might have had somebody go move the rock and put his seal back upon it whenever they put it back in place. But all these seals were placed there to prove that the rock had not been moved, that Daniel stayed the night. It says, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither was instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." I don't want a show of hands, but how many have lost sleep for the church? How many have lost sleep praying for your brothers and sisters that have been going through hard times? How many have lost sleep praying that we'll continually follow God and that Satan won't find a foothold to be able to come in and destroy? You see, I feel that we're always on a threshold of making a turn, either for the good or for the worst. And we have to stay in prayer. We have to stay vigilant. We have to stay looking for God and keep Him in our vision and keep Him in our forefront, looking forward to God. Because if we don't, Satan will find a side road that he will pull us down and try to destroy us. He'll try to separate us, conquer and divide. But united we must stand in the spirit and admonition and love of God, and through the blood of Jesus be a united church body, that we work together. Now you know the body doesn't work good if we got one member that's out of joint. You ever broke an ankle and try to get around? It's not an easy thing to do. Or broke an arm or broke a finger, things become difficult. It's the same way of serving God as a church. If we become broken, it's hard to serve Him. It's hard to serve Him. But we see now that Daniel wasn't going to be broken. He wasn't giving in. Now he's facing this judgment. The king's worried. Lost his sleep. He fasted all night. Didn't have music. Didn't go in and turn on the TV and watch funniest home videos. Didn't have the court jester come in to make merry. He was troubled, heavy-hearted. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went into the haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" He was worried. He came early in the morning, wanting to know Daniel's fare. Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever." Don't you know that filled his heart with joy? Filled his heart with joy to know that the man that he put so much trust in, so much devotion into, that he was willing to put him over his whole realm to be his head man in charge, had survived, and that Daniel's God had delivered him. "My God has sent his angels and have shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." He said, "God knew I wasn't guilty of anything worthy of death. He's took care of me, and he made them lions not so hungry and shut their mouths. I used one of them to lay my head on, maybe, for a pillow." Can you just see that big old cat laying there purring like a little kitten? Daniel sitting there scratching him on the head, maybe behind the ear. An old cat just throwing his head around. I know I'm going a little, it don't say that. But when God tames something, He can take the wildest beast and make it the tamest, humblest animal you've ever seen. He can take a wild heart of an unruly soul and make them the humblest person you've ever seen, to where they give Him praise for His excellency. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Listen, they can't hurt us in this world that we live. We're just passing through. This is not our kingdom. This is not the place that we are in rule and in charge. We are to have dominion over this land and over the things that God has put here, but this is not where we're going to stay in this cursed world. Thank God, God has provided so much better than what this world is. And it says, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den." Let me tell you, that was a severe punishment. Not only were the men that had conspired together to get Daniel, but their children and their wives as well were tossed in there. So be careful, wives, on what you encourage your husbands to do, I guess. Likewise, husbands, you better be careful what you might encourage your wives to do. And children, God help you, both of them mess up. I'm glad we don't have no lions around here. Might be a lot of places full. But God loves you, just as He loved Daniel. He provided a way for Daniel. He shut the lion's mouth. Listen, He'll shut the accuser's mouth. You continue to live for God. Don't you waver, don't you change. Your beliefs are your beliefs that you believe in God, and if they're founded in the Word of God and they are true, thank God they will stand and the accuser's mouths will be shut. And hurt will not come against you. The truth will prevail, and the truth will set you free, as it says. And thank God, those that God has set free are free indeed. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Boy, let me tell you what, that took some gumption from King Darius. He made a decree to all the world at that time, all the known world. Listen, there ain't nobody going to talk anything against Daniel's God because He is able to deliver. And this is the decree of the king. Well, let me tell you, before the king decreed it, God already had. God was already the I Am and still is today. God was still in charge and still is in charge. Man may think that we are in charge, but we're nothing if we're not following God. We see men in His wisdom where we've gotten. We need to follow God. He delivereth and rescueth. Boy, ain't that's you right there, aren't be enough to make a Baptist shout. He delivereth and rescueth. God delivers and rescues. And He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Somebody said they hadn't seen no miracles. Heard this confession from somebody when they was asked if they were saved. Well, I've not seen any miracles. If you're waiting for a miracle to get saved, let me tell you, salvation is a miracle. That's the greatest miracle you'll ever see. Healing of a sick, that's not hard for God. Getting someone who's got a stony heart of sin to recognize that they need Christ, that's a great miracle. Listen, raising somebody from the dead is not a difficult miracle for God. He done it all the time. He did it all the time. Every funeral service that Jesus came to, He broke it up and brought life back to those that were dead. Listen, one day I was dead. I was in the den of lions. They were hungry. I was on a cliff just above their reach. And they were snapping. And I saw Jesus. And I asked Him to come be my Savior. And He reached into that pit and He pulled me out and set me on the solid rock and established my going and set His signet upon me through the blood of Christ that says He's my child and that can't be changed according to the law of God. Thank God that there's one greater than the earthly kings of this world, and His name's Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Not only was Daniel successful, God's hand was upon him, that the things that he done was prosperous. Prosperous. Do we want to be prosperous as a church? Now, I'm not talking about making money. That's not being prosperous church for God. And we got to have money to operate and keep lights on, stuff like that. Be able to help do things and help people out. But what are we going to be a prosperous church about? Soul winning. That's what we need to be prosperous about. And having people that are taught in the Word of God, that's what we need to be prosperous about. Prosperous. Traditions are good as long as they line up with God. Some traditions are not good because they don't have God in them. But we need to hold fast to the old ways of God. Well, that's old fashioned, that's out of date. Well, that's where we need to get back to. Progression sometimes is not progression when we leave God out. It's regression. Going backward. And every time Israel left God out, what happened? They backed up. What is happening to America? We're backing up. We're backing up. We need to go forward for God, and the only way we can do is by humbling down and praying. 3 times a day, 6 times a day, continually, whatever it is that God convicts your heart to do, to be true to that conviction. Be true to that conviction. Your conviction to pray may be greater than my conviction to pray. Because God doesn't always give us all the same conviction. And at some point in time, mine may be greater than yours. But do that that God places on your heart to do and be true to it. Be true to it. Just as Daniel was true to God. He knew what the punishment could be, but he knew God was greater. And God could deliver. Why do we suffer? Why do we turn away from God? Why do we reject Him? Because we're afraid of men. We're afraid of men. I used to be scared to death of people. God told me, said, it's all right. They're just men and women like you. Flesh and bone. Feelings. We all have them. We all have them. And we have a loving God that loves all of us. He loves you so much this morning that He gave you Jesus. He loved me so much that He gave me Jesus. He's given me a home in heaven. You've got one free too if you'll only receive Him. If you're here this morning and don't know Him as your Savior, God's saying, I've got the very best that heaven has for you. Will you receive it? Will you take it? It's free. It's free. Anybody ever heard the saying, if it's free, it's for me? Boy, that's me. You go to the store and you see buy one, get one free. You think you got to have it. It's got to be a good deal. Sometimes we figure out it's not such a good deal. But Jesus is the best thing that you'll ever get for free. Because He gave His life. He paid the debt. And He said, here I am. Here's my blood. It's free if you'll just receive it. It's free. And not only that, I've got you a home in heaven. It would be enough if He just saved us. But He said He had a home prepared for us. He's got a glorified body waiting on us. I can't wait to get that one. This old body, it's been through enough. Thank God, I don't want to hold on to this thing anymore. Throw off this old clay and take on that glorified body. No pain, no glasses, no diabetes. Be perfect. He said, you must believe. You must trust me. You must be born again. As I get a song of invitation ready this morning. What's your conviction, church? Are we committed to God? If they said not to pray, would we stop? Would we be afraid of man's decrees? They're slowly but slowly trying to get it to where we can't call sin, sin. It's not going to be correct to do. Afraid of hurting someone's feelings. We start teaching our children from an early age when we start rewarding everybody for participating. We all have to participate in life if we're born into it. But we have to be saved if we're going to receive the reward that God has in store. We're not going to get in just because we lived a good life. We're not going to get in because we went to church. We're not going to get in because we sung in the choir. Or we put $5 in the offering plate every Sunday. None of that's going to matter if we don't know Jesus. We must be born again. We must be saved. We must be committed to Him. He's already committed to us the very best that heaven has. Will you commit to Him? Will you surrender to His love? Will you be born again? Saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we stand to our feet this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. No one looking across the congregation. Are you here this morning in a lost condition? Friend, Jesus loves you. He died that you might live. He gave you life and liberty through His blood. Friend, if you've not received that and He's dealing with your heart, would you lift your hand? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. And I need to be saved. I know that I'm lost. God's dealing with my heart. Will you pray for me, preacher? Be a hand anywhere. It won't save you, but it's the first step. Recognizing and admitting that you're lost and need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Would there be one anywhere? Anywhere. Christians, maybe you've got a need this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just step out. Come to the altar. Bring it to Jesus. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. It's a prayer for someone's health. Prayer for finances. Prayer for strength. Prayer that we stay on fire for God and don't become lukewarm. Prayer that we don't bow down to men's decree. Whatever it might be, will you come? Will you come? Some are stepping out and still coming. We'll wait just a few moments of time. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we thank You for this day and we thank You for the encouragement of Daniel. Dear God, that he stood strong, that he didn't change his convictions, Lord, that he prayed three times a day just as he did the fourth time. God, that he didn't bow, he wasn't destroyed by the lions, that his bones were not broken, that there was no harm found upon him for being in there with those great cats. Dear Heavenly Father, You delivered. And God, we know that whatever we face in this world, that You will deliver, just as You did for Daniel, just as You did for Noah and his family, just as You did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just as You did for David, and many throughout Your precious book, how You were able to deliver for Elijah, Elisha, Your Heavenly Father, Jeremiah, Nehemiah. God, there's so many that we have witness of how You delivered. And Lord, we thank You that You will do the same for us today. God, we pray for these that have come to Your altar, Lord, as they do business with You. God, You answer every petition according to Thy will. Dear Heavenly Father, we remain humble, submit ourselves unto You as a living sacrifice, dear God, unto You. That You open our mouths and give us boldness to speak and proclaim the goodness of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that King Darius saw in You what a mistake he had made, and that Daniel's God would be able to deliver him. Dear God, we know that people will see, their eyes will be open, their tongues will confess one day that You are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But God, we know that for some that it's going to be too late. And Lord, we're sorry for that, for them. But God, we thank You, and we have seen You, and we still see You. We continue to watch You and how You lead us and guide us to be servants of the Most High God. Lord, if there's any here today that's lost, Lord, I pray You convict their hearts so strong they couldn't leave until they make things right with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.